Okay, everybody, say today's daf is daf pei. Excuse me. And we're starting at the very top, a brand new Mishnah. This is a continuation of the Mishnah that we learned back on daf Ayin Ches, where the Mishnah spoke about a person that was renting a chamor, lahilichai bahar, vahilichai bebika, bebika vahilichai bahar, that he changed and he violated the terms of the original rental agreement. And here too we have similar circumstances. Hasoicha sapara, someone who is renting not a chamor, but a para, a cow. Lachrish bahar, for the purpose of doing plowing on the top of the mountain. Vacharish bebika, and instead he took the para and he plowed down in the valley. He violated the agreement. Holy cow! What's halacha? State in the Mishnah, im nishbar hakankan, if the kankan broke. What exactly is a kankan? Kankan is a part on the bottom of the plow that allows for the cutting and the incisions into the ground so that the ground is plowed. Kankan, in other words, a very, very vital part of the plow. Good. That part, of course, goes into the ground. That's how you go and cut through the ground and do the plowing. But if you go and put it too deep into the ground, it can break. So what happened? He agreed to go and rent this para for purposes of plowing in the mountaintop, and instead he used it in the bika, and guess what? And the kankan broke. Says the Mishnah, he's potter. On the other hand, Ravika, if he rented this para for purposes of plowing in the valley, v'chorish bahar, and instead he went to the top of the mountain, and the Mishra kankan and the kankan broke, then he is chayiv. Why is he chayiv? So Rashi explains, because the top of the mountain typically is much more hilly and much more rocky than down in the valley. And therefore, where is it far more likely for the kankan to break? In the hills and not in the valley. So therefore, since he made up to do in the Resha, the Harisha in the heart, and instead he did it in the Bika, Zok the Mishnah, and Nishbara kankan, if the kankan broke, he's potter. Why is he potter? Because if this kankan were likely to break, it was much more likely to break up in the mountain, not down in the valley. So if it broke in the valley, it is an easier, he's using this kankan, he's using this plow in an area where it's far less likely for the kankan to break, because down in the valley it's not as rocky, and so therefore this is not although it is a violation of his original agreement, but this is not a negative violation. If anything, it's a positive violation, because he's taking it in a place where it's far less likely for the kankan to break.
The kankan is part of the kankan is the plow.
As we explained about a minute ago, that the kankan is...
No, say when you rented the person, suffered the para. He's renting the para.
You're asking what is included in the para?
Yeah.
Included in the para is not only the plow, including the kankan, but as Rashi explains, and as we'll see a little bit further in the Gemara, he also rented two people that took the para. One that guides the para along in the field as it's plowing, and the other one that's working the plow in the back of the para, and he's the one in charge of the kankan, making sure the kankan shouldn't go too deep, so it shouldn't break. So when the person is renting a para, he rented a full package. A para, a plow, and two workers that work together with it. So it says in our Mishnah, under such circumstances, he's potter. However, if he wanted to do the Harisha Bahar, since the Bahar, by definition, is a far more rocky place, and therefore is a much greater likelihood that the kankan will break, so his violation could have, and apparently did, lead to the breaking of the kankan, therefore he is chayiv. And the Mishnah says a similar circumstance in the Sefer, Lodish B'Kitnias. He went and hired a para for purposes of threshing kitnias. Kitnias are beans. But Dosh B'Tvua, instead, he didn't use it for beans, but he used it for Tvua. And as we'll see in the Mishnah in a moment, kitnias are far more slippery, and therefore it's far more likely that the para is going to slip and fall and perhaps break a leg or whatever on the kitnias, rather than the tvua is much less slippery than the kidneys. That being the case, if he agreed to go and rent out this para for doing disha, doing threshing of kidneys, then instead he used dosh b'tvua, he's made it easier for the para, much less likely for the para to slip and hurt itself. And if in fact it did slip and hurt itself, potter. However, the other way around, Lodish Betul V'dash B'Kinyas, if you made up to go and do Disha threshing of Tvua, grain, and instead it did Kinyas, and Kinyas are slippery, and then the animal slipped and hurt itself, Chayu Nisha Kinyas Mechalekes, because as we said, Kinyas beans cause and are much slipperier, much more slippery than grain. So this violation is a negative violation, and therefore he is chayiv for violating the contract. Okay, so the Mishnah on the surface is very, very straightforward. And now the Gemara says, Heichad lo yishani ba man mishalim. What happened in a situation where he did not change from har to bika, bika to har? Who is responsible? Now the man mishalim that we're referring to is not either to the owner or to the renter of the para. Peshtetach, the owner is not responsible. He's sitting in his office and he's learning the daf, waiting for the next customer to come in. So the man mishalim is referring to the two people that are working together with this part. And Rashi says, here the two workers are not part of the package deal. When you rent a para, you rent the two people with you. But rather, the person who rented the para separately rented or hired two employees to go and work with this para. And one of them, and perhaps both of them, obviously messed up because the kan broke. Who is shildik? Who is negligent for causing the breaking of the kankan? Is it the guy in front of the animal or the guy in back of the animal? And that's a machloikas and rapapa, the nokit parsha mishalim. Nokit parsha means the one that is holding on to the reins in front of the animal and causing the animal to go in a particular direction. So he should have made sure to guide the animal in a place and in a way that it should not cause the kankan to break. Presumably, had he gone through the normal rows and furrows and ditches the way animals normally go in plowing this field, everything would have been fine. But apparently he took the animal a little bit off on the side in a crooked manner, therefore he's the one that's responsible for causing the kankan to break. But Rav Shisha Breda of Idi Amar, no, 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 it's the one that's holding on to the kankan. In other words, the one that's in charge of the plow in back of the animal. He should have been more careful to make sure that the kankan should not break. So therefore, we have a machloikis. So the Gemara v'ilchasan, the halacha is to knock it manu mishalim, that the one that in fact is holding on to and is in charge of the kankan, he is the one that is chayiv. However, the duchta de machzika gundri, if it's a place where everybody knows it's full of rockiness, full of stones, boulders, rocks, etc., Tavayim Mishalim, and then both have to go and pay. Why do they both have to go and pay? Because of the fact that each one of them knew that this is a hilly, rocky area. So both of them should have been careful. Both the animal guide, the one that's guiding the animal, as well as the one that's in charge of the kankan, if they know in advance that this happens to be a very rocky area, both of them should have been more careful, and therefore they're both chayv. Nushtikl, Omer of Yoichanan, Hamoicher part of the chaber. A person is selling a para, the omaloi, and he's giving him a long list of blemishes and defects. And he says, I want you to know the part that I'm selling you, parazu nakchonis. It's a goring para. He nashchonis. It's a biting para. He ba'atonis. It's a kicking para. He ravtonis. It's a crouching para, a para that lies down on Odom the Kalim or other animals and causes them damage. And therefore, I said the he wrong each time. Parazu nakchonis he, nashchonis he, batonis he, ravtonis he. This animal has all of these gewaldige chesroinois, that it's a dangerous animal. The truth of the matter is, of all of these four mumen that we enumerated, it only had one of the four. However, usnafoi bein mumen, he went and swallowed it in. He included it among the other three. Why? To fool the other fellow. Meaning, he figured he's going to go and put in a whole bunch of baloney blemishes that don't exist. That person is going to go and try out the animal. He's going to go and take a red towel, a red flag in front of the animal and see where the animal is not chonish. No! This part of, when he saw the red towel, he started smiling and said, oh, what a nice welcome that you're sending me such a welcome with the towel. He nashchonis. He went and offered him something to eat. He wouldn't bite at all. Not a biter. However, the animal was a batonis, for instance, it was a kicker. it was not a Rav Tzonis. So now, the reason why the Gemara assumes that the Mocha threw in these other blemishes is not because he had a lawyer that goes and throws in, you know, 25 different Lashonis to go and get him off the hook. But rather, the reason why he did is because he wanted to hide the real blemish of this animal. So he figured he's going to throw in all of these others. The Kona is going to see, oh, this animal's not a Nakhonis, it's not a Nashchonis, it's not a Rapsonis, it's probably not a Batonis either, and the whole thing is just legal verbiage, just legalese, and really it's nothing. But it turns out, it was one of these four, Usnafib in a Mumin, he went and included it and inserted it among the other Mumin to kind of hide this Mum, hoping that the Kona is not going to check it out. And in fact, he checked out the others, but not this particular one. And then afterwards he realizes, this animal taki is a batonis. Then the lekiach can come back to the mocher. And even though the mocher wrote the fetish in the contract that it is a batonis, he said, however, by the fact that you included it among a list of meaningless, misleading other blemishes which it didn't have, you tried to go and trick me. Therefore it's a mekach tois, and he gets his money back.
Sunpo?
Where's the word sunpo? Usnafai. Usnafai is a Russian sniff. Sniff means to go, in Eretz Yisrael, you sniff to mean a branch.
Thank you.
So he branched it among all the other mumen. He had a mumen full of trees, and he threw this in as an additional branch among them. So the point is that the reason why he inserted it among the other mumen is to kind of hide it from the eyes of the Lekech. The Lekech will see that the others, come on, it's not a you're talking baloney. So he's going to assume that it's not a batonis either, for instance. Therefore, that's a mekach tois. Mum ze umum acher. What happens if he writes befeirish that it has this particular mum, and it had that particular mum? For instance, the mum of batonis, it's a batonis. And he wrote mum acher, and it says, and other blemishes, etc., without enumerating any other mum, only this mum of being a batonis. And the person says, it's probably goinish and blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out that in fact it was a batonis. Ain't a mekatois, it's not a mekatois, and the guy loses his money because in fact he should have inspected, investigated, tested this animal to see really whether it was a batonis or not, and therefore caveat emptor, he only has himself to blame. Now even though we spoke about a para, the Gemara says that the identical considerations also apply if you are buying a shivcha. Tanna mihochi, amoicha shivcha lechaber, a person is selling a shivcha. The Amalani told him, shivcha zu shaiti, she's a shaiti. Nichbasi, she's an epileptic. Mishumemesi, also means that she's deranged. Not exactly sure the difference between a shaiti and mishumemes. It could be that a shaiti means more of a lower, mental capacity. Well, Mishamemis means a person could be a higher mental capacity, but just happens to be tzidrait.
Yeah. It just says epileptic and disturbed.
That the disturbed is fine. What does it say about shoita? We have three over here. We have shoita, and then we have insane. So what's the difference between a person who's insane and a person disturbed?
Shoita is something we had in Gemara earlier. Someone give something of value, they throw it away, or they tear their clothing.
They tear it.
Okay. So would you call that a mishigaz?
A mishigas is something we're all guilty of.
But here we're talking about the shivcha.
I
confirmed.
It's a mishigas is Rashi's word. Mishigas sounds like a.
Rashi's a mishumem is a mishigas.
Right.
So Shait is also a mishigas. No?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, the point is, then he would say mishigane. He didn't say mishigane, he said mishigas. But the point is, Shait and mishumem is basically kind of synonymous terms, but apparently they're not. One is insane and the other is disturbed. Okay, insane and disturbed, it seems to me that there's a lot of overlap between those two terms. But anyway, see through into the machine, and a nichbis as well as an epileptic. He, so each time, of these three, Shitaka was one of them. In other words, she was Lamashal, she was a Nichbis. But she wasn't a Shaiti, she wasn't a Mishumemis. You could talk to her normally, and she speaks totally intelligently, etc., etc. So she's not a Shaiti, not a Mishumemis. But she was a Nichbis. Ustafa ben Amumin, the reason why he inserted it among the other women, for the same reason, to be able to go and hide that mum. He'll see that the Kona will speak to the Shivcha, and she talks totally intelligently. He'll realize she's not a Shaiti, not a Mishumemis. He'll assume she's not a Nichbis either, and turns out that she is. How is that, Mechatois? However, mum ze umamacher, if he spelled out that particular mum, the marshal that she's a nichbis, and he says, and she also has other blemishes which were not expressly enumerated, ain't the mechatois.
Same
as before, exactly. Before we're talking about a parah, we were talking about a shivcha, but the same is parah. What happens if, in fact, he gave full disclosure and he says, she's a shoyte metanichbis mishumemes, or by the para, raptonis metabatonis, metanishnachonis, nachonis, al the shiny yichasin, and the shiitake has all of them now, what's the din now? And the koyde says, oy vavoy, I cannot possibly live with all of these mumen, on the amorcha, the ravashi, the achamin mishmederova. The person spelled it out and enumerated them. He did it because he wanted to give full disclosure. You didn't inspect it. You poo-pooed it and said, the animal or the shifcha has all of these movement. So you lekeach, you're stuck, and it's not a mechatois. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Now the Mishnah and the Gemara are all quite straightforward. You just have to remember small little mathematics. What are we referring to? Hasoiches a chamor lahavi leachitim. A person hired and rented a chamor for purposes of transporting chitim. Behavior less oirim. And instead of putting chitim on, he puts oirim on. Now, as we'll see in Mechashem in the Gemara shortly, oirim are in fact lighter than chitim. So if anything, by putting on oirim, he made the load on top of the chamor lighter, not heavier. So, why should he be chayv if the animal now collapsed under all of the weight? If anything, he should go and get an award because he put on less weight than the chitim. What's the chayv? So, as we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, Rashi learns that the seif of the Mishnah is really just a repeat and explanation of the reish of the Mishnah. What happened over here is, because it happens to be lighter, he added some additional sa'oirim to make up for the weight.
So it was really a weight thing, not about the item.
I see Baruch Hashem, the oilim is all... The oilim Baruch Hashem is really into this. Okay. As the Gemara will explain shortly, any time that you have a chamor, you have to worry about two things. Number one, you have to worry about the weight. But number two, you also have to worry about the bulk, the volume of the load that's on the back of the animal. Because even if the load happens to be less weighty, if it happens to be larger, then presumably it could be lopsided, or it can be very difficult for the animal to deal with these big weights.
Especially
like a windy day, exactly. And of course, we don't have to really bring grace and mishalim, but even with a person, for instance,
like
the havdil from an animal.
A woman, like yesterday.
Yeah, if you have a person, and a person is going and carrying a very, very large box, even though the large box may not be very heavy, but if it's very bulky, it's difficult to go and carry it. So therefore, what the Mishnah is telling us is that the person who rented the chamor realized that sa'oirim are lighter than chitim. So what did he do? He threw on some additional sa'oirim to make up for the weight. But as a result, he added to the heft, to the bulk, to the volume, what the Gemara calls the nofach. Therefore, he is chayv. The question is, how much did he add? As we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, according to Abaye, he added 3 kavin. If you add 3 kavin, that causes the load to become so unbalanced, okay, untenable for the chamor to go and carry. So even though in terms of the actual weight, it's less, as we'll see in the Gemara. The difference between a lesech of chitim and a lesech of sa'irim, lesech is a half a kor. Kor is 30 sa'ar. So lesach is 15 saw. The difference in weight between 15 saw of chitim and 15 saw of sa'irim is 1 saw. 1 saw difference in weight. A saw is 6 kavin. All this person did was he threw on 3 kavin. So he didn't make the weight the same. In fact, it's still less weighty. The lesach of sa'irim is still less weightier than the chitim. The problem, the reason why he's chayiv, if the animal should now stumble and collapse or whatever, he's chayiv because of the extra bulk that he put on the 3 kavin. Mitchell will see this fight in the Mishnah. Same thing, what happens if he made up tvua to go and, this chamor is going to go and carry a load of tvua, grain, maybe a lot of, and instead he put on straw. Again, straw is less weighty than tvua. So if anything, he should be potter. So the Mishnah chayv. Why? Neishan noifach kosher kimmasui. Because the noifach, that means the volume, the load, the heft, the bulk, is just as bad for the animal as the masui, as the weight. And now the Mishnah explains. This is all according to Abaye. Rava learns the Mishnah a little bit differently, but this is the way Rashi learns the Mishnah like Abaye. that we start again the Mishnah. He went and hired the chamor lahavi lesach chitim, to take upon its back a lesach. A lesach again is a half a car. Car is 30 sa, lesach is 15 sa. Vehevi lesach sa'idim. Now these, of course, are volumes. These are not weights. He had the volume of 15 sa on the back of this animal of chitim, and instead he put 15 sa of sa'idim. Now, the weight of sa'idim is less than the weight of chitim, and therefore if he did not add anything more, but rather he just left a lesach of sa'idim, bimkoin, the lesach of chitim, then he's potur! Because if anything, he should get an award for making this animal have less tzar bali chayim. It's only a lesach of sa'idim, which is less weighty than a lesach of chitim. However, if because of the fact that he realizes that the lesach of sa'idim is less weighty than the lesach of chitim, and therefore what does he decide to do? He's going to go and throw in a couple more. Then is chayav, because although the animal perhaps still has less of a weight on its back, but it has a greater load on its back. So now you're going to ask, but how much is that the emoisiv? If you're talking about a gomel, which we didn't mention until now we're talking about a chamor, but for a gomel it's a saw. If you're talking about a chamor, oh, our keys of the chamor, then shloisha kavin the chamor, three kavin for chamor. By adding the three kavin, although you haven't made the weight equal, it's still less weighty than the chitim, but nevertheless you've added so much to the bulk, that's what's causing the problem for the animal. And that's the lashon of the Mishnah, the noifach is kosher kin masui. We all understand easily that the masui, the weight on the animal, can cause major problems for the animal. So our Mishnah tells us it's not only a weight problem, it's also the volume problem. If you have a very large bulk, a large package on the back of this animal, even if it's not so weighty, it can also cause major problems for the animal. How much is that additional noifach that causes the problem? The animal should only be a maximum of a lesach, and you threw in three kavin, no good, and therefore you are chayv. Now what is the percentage-wise, three kavin compared to a lesach? Bearing in mind that a lesach is 15 saw, every saw is 6 kavin, a 15 times 6 gives you approximately 90, so if instead of putting on 90 kavin of tvur, he added 3 more, he put in 93, that 3 of the 90 means 1/30th, in other words, 3 1/3%, oh, adding that additional 3%, that could go and cause the death of this chamor. However, if you only put on 2%, in other words, you only added 1 kav, 2 kavin, you're off the hook. You add 3 kavin, oh, that's where the problem lies, and then you're going to be chayv. Jokdimar, everything that we explained until now goes aliba di abaya, and that's how Rashi learns the Mishnah like abaya. However, Rava disagrees, itman, abaya omar kosha kim masui tanan, with a chav, Rava omar kosha lim masui tanan, with a lamed. Meaning in the middle of the Mishnah we said, one is Yichayv, why is Yichayv? The Mishnah Noifach, the bulk, the volume, is kosher kim masui. Just like masui is a problem, Noifach is also a potential problem for an animal. That's how Abaye learned kim masui. Rava says, no. The Noifach on its own is really not an issue, it's the combination of the Noifach and the masui, kosher lim masui tonight. That's what the real makeh b'patish, that's the real problem for the animal. So what's the nafkimina? Kim masui, lim masui, it just sounds like sophistry. What's the nafkimina? As we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, the nafkimina is that according to Abaye, the addition of the three kavin, that could cause the problem for the animal, even though the masui is still less. The lesach of chitim is still heavier than a lesach plus three kavin, which means 15 and a half saw. Remember, a lesach is 15 saw. Three kavin is a half a saw. So what you're talking about is a 15 saw weight of chitim is still weightier, still heavier than 15 and a half saw of sa'idim. But nevertheless, because of the fact that it's much more volume, much more, 3 1/3%, no good kosher kimasi, because the problem of noifach is exactly the same issue as a masri problem. But Rava said, no. It's only going to be a problem if you're going to have both the same weight plus an additional volume. How do you have the same weight? 15 sa'a of chitin equals the same weight as 16 sa'a of sa'ayim. So therefore says Rava, the only time you're going to get into problems if you add an additional sa'a, because then the noifach will be kosher limasui. You're going to have the same masui, the same weight. 15 sa'a of chitim equals 16 sa'a of sa'irim. But the problem is, 16 sa'a is a much larger volume. It's not 3%, it's now 6 2/3%, right? It's not 1/30, it's now 1/15. Because you're adding to 15. Adding to 15, so you're adding one more sauce, so 1/15. That's already double the share. That's when you get into the problem, according to Rava, that you're adding to the masui the additional naifach. More explains. Tanan. I'm sorry, Koshanan. Tanan. Abai Omar Kosha Kim Masui Tanan, Nafcha Kitakla. The problem for an animal, the noifach, the bulk, the weight is exact, not the weight, but the noifach, the bulk, the hefty, the load, is the same problem, just like takla, just like weight. In other words, both of these are very weighty issues. Both of them deserve to be treated equally. And therefore, if he just adds 3 kavin, even though the weight is not the same yet, in fact, it's still less weight. But yechayiv. Why? Because noifach is a problem for an animal just like masui is. Once you've gone beyond the lesach, and you've gone up to 3, you're okay. But once you hit 3 kavin, no good yechayiv. Rav Amar Kosher Limasui tonight. The Takla Ki Takla. Takla is Takla, in other words, weight for weight. If you have the same weight of Sa'idim as you have for Chitim, that's problematic. The Navcha Habitisafes, and you add the Navcha, that's the killer. Meaning, if you were able to go and get 15 Sa'a of Sa'idim to be the same weight as 15 Sa'a of Chitim, it wouldn't make a difference. 15 saw, the weight is the weight, the noifach is the noifach, they're all exactly the same. However, since by nature barley, in fact, is less weighty, it's lighter than chitim, so therefore the only way to equate the two is if you throw in one more saw. 16 saw of barley equals, in weight, 15 saw of chitim. But now you've added so much additional noifach. You've added 6 2/3%, 1/15, by adding 1 to the original 15. That's what the Gemara means. That's what the Mishnah means. Takla ki takla. If the weights were the same, that's not the issue. The issue is that the navcha, by now having by the sa'irim, not only the additional weight, which is the same, 15 and 16 are the same. But now the volume, having to seven, that's what causes the problem, and that's why it's in the Mishnah, limasa. So therefore, in practical terms, the whole machlokes between Abai and Rava is one of you chayiv. Abai says you already chayiv if you have 3 kavin, while according to Rava, you only chayiv if you put on 6 kavin, an additional full saw. Why? Because once you put the additional saw, now it's takla ki takla. Now the weight is exactly the same, 15, and this is 16. However, you've also added to the noifach. That's where the problem lies. Well, according to Abai says it's not only a question of weight. The bulk itself is already an issue, even disregarding the weight. So therefore, even though you've only put on 3 kavin, the weight of the sa'irim is still less than the weight of the chitim, but nevertheless you're chai because of the noifach, because of the larger burden. It's tanan. Now let's see who's right and who's wrong. Going back to our Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah, in the Sefer, in the middle of the Mishnah, lo habi lesach chitim, they agreed in the contract to go and transport a lesach, this is a half a kor, 15 saw of chitim, v'hevi, and it says, took lesach sa'irim, he's potter. The moisvel masoi is chayiv. If he added, then you're chayiv. Now the question is, my love, what do we mean that he's moisvel masoi? Aren't we talking about putting on it shloishis kavin? If you throw in 3 kavin more, then you're chayiv. Why? Because the lesach and lesach, if they're exactly the same load, you're fine. In fact, lesach sa'irim is even better because it's less weight. But in terms of volume, it's exactly the same. But now if he's moisif on that masa, even though we haven't come yet to the point where the masa is the same, the weight is not the same yet. However, the volume is already increased by the 3%, by the shloishis kavim. So you're already chayiv. Is the chayiv a raya to a bayit? So when it says the Mishnah, he didn't mean to go and add 3 kav. He meant to add 6 kav and so, because now the weight is exactly the same of the two. And what has happened is, and you've also increased the bulk on the back of the animal. Ah, now I have the problem. Great Timura, but how could you say the Valok Tani? The Mishnah continues on. When we said in the Mishnah that if he's Moisif al Masoyis Chayv, the Mishnah itself asks, how much? Tell me dollars and cents, or in weight and volume, how much? Three kavin. Rava, you're disagreeing with the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Shloisha kavin. Everything Mahachi Kama. Says now Rava, no, the Mishnah means the following. When you are trying to go and change the terms of the agreement from chitim to sa'orim, then you're only going to be chayiv if you added on one additional saw, the 6 2/3%, because now the weights are the same and the bulk is much bulkier. Then you got a problem. However, the Mishnah continues, Hecha d'loy shani. What happens if he didn't switch from chitim to sa'orim, but rather chitim baby chitim, sa'orim baby sa'orim? He did exactly what the contract said in terms of the material, the grain that he is transporting. But the question is, if he's changing in terms of the weight or the volume, what does this person have to do to go beyond the letter of the contract to be chayiv? Oh, you agreed to go and take a lesser lemushal of chitim. And instead of taking a lesser of chitim, you put on an additional kav. Well, that's okay. 2 kav, also okay. 3 kav, now you're in trouble. It's somewhat similar, if you will, to modern day, that if you're traveling, you're allowed to have the large suitcases, are allowed to be up to 50 pounds. If it's 51, 52, they usually don't make a problem. Okay. If it were 53, oh, I should have gotten 1 pound less. No. 53, 51, 52, I'm not saying all of them, some of them, yeah, well, whatever. But the point is, in general, they normally, normally if it's a drop more, they don't make a big timis. But once here, 3 kav, see here too, if it's a lesser of chitim, you put a lesser, no problem. A lesser with nocha kavala, 2, 3 kav, then we are in trouble. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to. But in the case of he's switching from a case of chitim to sarim chitim, then the problem will only be is if you first equate the two weights by adding an additional saw. Now the weights are exactly the same, but you have so much more bulk. That's where you have the problem, according to Rav. So if he's not Mishana, then it's 3 kav. If he is Mishana, then it's a problem with a saw. Toshima. Let's try to bring another raya from a braisa. Lahavi lesa chitim. They agreed to go and schlep, transport a lesser chitim. The heili sheish esrei sa'orim. And instead of taking a lesser, which is 15 of chitim, 15 sa'ah, he went and put on 16 sa'ah of sa'orim. Then he's chay. It sounds like, exactly like Rava said, that Rava said that the difference, what causes you to be chay, if you have the two weights, and you have this tremendous additional bulk. But it's the additional sa'ah. Hashloisha kavanam, you just put on 3 kav, it's mashus potter. It's a hashtar kakasha on abayim. Evdi martegim abayim b'machita. Abayim says it really depends on how you laid out the heft and the load on the back of the animal. You could have them, for instance, Rashi says that the grain was tefufois. Tefufois means that it was like in a heap formation. In our case, it was mechukois, that it was nice and flat and smooth. So what does it have to do with anything? So if you look at the Rashi about 10 lines in, see there's a small pintle in the middle of the Rashi, the nearly, says Rashi, I believe, Shemasa hachamor lesech, umedidasen b'tfufois tesvav soim. When we spoke about in the Mishnah that you have a lesach of chitim or sa'orim, we're talking about 15, so which were tfufois. Tfufois means that they come like a heap, that it's heaped up on top. But not when it's flattened out. Abaye says that if you're talking about so'orim instead of chitim, then you can have 16, as long as 16 saw, as long as the mechukais, they are flat. What Rashi is saying is that when the Braisa says over here that you chai by 16 sa'orim and not by 15 and a half, you're talking about that too hot or too cold?
No.
Oh, okay. Just recharge it. All right. No problem. Anyway, so Rashi is saying is that if you're talking about the normal case of our Mishnah of Tfufais, then you only get a break up to three additional kavan. Once you hit three kavan, or in other words, 2.999 kavan. Once you hit three kavan, you're in trouble, and then you're chayv. However, if you're talking about Mechulkais, which is a much easier load to handle, because it's nice and flat and not in a heap, then you get a break up to one additional saw. So, until now, we only spoke about the volume, now we're also talking about the configuration of the volume. If it happens to be a nice, flat box full of sa'orim, it's different than if you have hefty, hefty bags where you have some of the sa'orim sticking out on the top, which could cause the thing to be lopsided. And
well, it makes also.
Sorry?
You're worried about the animal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put one pressure point, it's much harder for the animal. That's all fun. You know,
but if it's all flattened out nice, you hear an expert in the field, you know, that there's a difference between if it's Tfufais and Mechulkais.
I'm an expert in animals, for sure.
I wouldn't say that, Anyway, but the point is that our Mishnah, now Abai is introducing something new, that you could have a case of an additional saw having the status of an additional three kavan, when they have to be machuk. When you machuk, then you get a little bit extra load on top. Not just three kavan, only if you hit six kavan, then you're chayv. However, if it's only three kavan, then you'd be potter because it's machuk instead of tafuf. Okay, tanravan. Now we're going to talk about not only a chamor, we're going to talk in general about overloading someone or something. What is the point of overload at which the person who has overloaded that other person or other thing, when does he become chayv? So, kav lekatav. If you have a person who is schlepping, this katav means a porter, a person. How much does a person normally carry? So Rashi says, normally a regular person would carry 30 kav, which are five saw, every saw being six kavin. The person, a regular normal porter, can go and carry on his back 30 kavin. And now if you added one additional kav, that causes the overload. And each time, Rashi says, because we're going based on a 1/30th, like we had in the Mishnah. And we had in the Mishnah that if you're talking about a lesach, which is 15 saw. 15 saw is 90 kavin. If you added 3 kavin, 3 out of 90 is 1/30th. Here too, the regular individual can go and carry on his back, the mashal, Rashi says, 30 kavin. If you add one more, that's 1/30th in addition, then you cause trouble. Adriv is la'areva. Fusai is an adriv. Rashi says an adriv is a lesach. That's the Tosefos. Meaning, what's an areva? Areva means a small boat. Like if you're going to Central Park and you're renting one of these rowboats, areva is a small little boitachal, a small boat. Okay, so what's the din by a small boat? There, apparently, you can go and carry up to 30 sa'a, I'm sorry, 30 lesach. If you add one more lesach, that's a Tosefos that would cause it to collapse, that would cause problems. Cordless Svina. Svina, of course, is already a much larger boat. Much larger boat. If you add on an additional car, then it's problematic. Meaning that your regular, normal Svina can carry 30 car. If you're adding one more car, then you are really going to cause problems. Shloishes Karim Lebarnik Dor. Lebarnik Dor is already a Titanic, or a Queen Elizabeth, a really very, very large ship. There, if you have Shloishes Karim, meaning that normally it would go and carry 90 koyrim. So if you add 3 more, 1/30th, that causes the problems.
Omar. It's always 1/30th.
Always 1/30th, yeah. Exactly, all the ratios. Omar, kav lekatav. So to Yomara, I don't understand. I can understand by Bahaima, I can understand by Svina, that if you do an overload, and that causes the animal to collapse, or the boat to sink, then I can understand you should be chayv. But if you're talking about an Issa, since we're talking about a porter by definition is a person, he's a bardasu, he may not be a rocket scientist, if he was a rocket scientist he probably wouldn't be a porter, but he has enough seichel, if he feels that this kav really makes it so burdensome, l'shadya. So, don't the person that loaded him up, of course, is negligent and perhaps he's doing it intentionally, he's going and putting on this extra kav, not nice, you're wrong. But if this person afterwards, Nebuch, collapses as a result, he himself is contributed to his own negligence, because as soon as he felt that he cannot handle this burden, he should have thrown it off. So why would the person who loaded him be chayv? He himself contributed to his own collapse. talks about that when he loaded on the 31 kaven, the 30 plus 1, he immediately collapsed on the spot. So you can't go and say, well, he should have thrown it off. He didn't even have a chance to throw it off. It didn't happen that he fell down immediately. That this price is really not talking about the damage that was caused to the porter by the extra load, but that he's entitled to go and get paid more. He's saying, I normally carry on my back 30 kaven. You want to do 31 kaven? No problem. You have to pay an extra $100 for the extra weight. And therefore, we're not talking about negligence and damage. What we're talking about is rates that you have to go and pay additional amounts. Rav Ashi Yomar, who sover chulshahu de noket lay, a new teretz on the same kasha, the reason why the person didn't throw it off, because he felt that he assumed that the person who put on his back the load knew the halacha of putting up to 30 kaven. He didn't realize it was 31. He feels that it's a heavier burden than usual. He felt that morning probably has some sort of backache, he has some sort of weakness in his shoulder. But he didn't automatically assume that it was because somebody overloaded him. So that's why he didn't know to throw it off. And that ultimately, unfortunately, he taka collapsed as a result. And that's why you're chayv.
Yes? First of all, the argument that some porter is somebody who is financially somewhat in the best position.
No.
He's desperate for money.
Exactly.
He's going to try. The Maisa, he'll try to do more than he can just to make. So, naturally.
That's the Agri Yisrael.
Gemara's asking why he's a Badas. Of course, he's a Badas.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows his situation is dire.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to try the best he can to support his family. That means, I'll survive. Yes. So, I mean, the question is a little bit. I understand that.
What you're really doing is you're dramatizing the teretz that the Gemara gave about the Agri Yisrael. That was Rava's teretz. Rava's saying is, it's true that he's on overload. The fact that he is overloaded, why would that be a reason to go and cause the person who overloaded him to be responsible for his collapse? After all, he's a bardas, he should have thrown it off, says the Gemara. We're not talking about the person that's collapsing. The person, Baruch Hashem, is alive and healthy and kicking. The price itself doesn't address why what. It just says kav lekatav. We assumed until now kav lekatav means that the person never got into, that he collapsed as a result of this heavy weight. And who's responsible? The person overloaded. Says, no. This person, Baruch Hashem, he's as strong as a behemoth. And we already heard before from our animal expert that a person who's strong as a behemoth, this porter, he can go and take not only 30, he can take 31 and 32 and 35. However, because of the fact that it's that much heavier, he's entitled to go and get an additional fare. If normally, as a porter, he's taking it, he would charge $50 of taking it from here to Brooklyn. But now, that since it's a heavier load, he's in charge to charge $60 or $100 instead of just the $50. So that's the argument, as you say, because he has to support his family, and that's why he's allowed to charge more if you've added to the burden. And now the Gemara is concluding that we said that Karl the Svina and Shloish is Karl the Barney Gdoyla Omer Apapa Shemamina. From this we see that Stam Svinois, the normal average boat, not a huge ship but a regular boat, Vast Lossin Koyrin, it should be able to go and carry and transport 30 car. How do I know? By the fact that it said that if you overload it, you put an additional car. And we're talking about ratios of 1/30. It's assuming that the normal amount is 30. If you put on 31, it's an overload. But the normal is 30. Why are you telling me this? If you ever go and buy a Svina and you say, I want a standard size, standard volume, standard weight Svina, then it has to be able to go and transport 30. If it doesn't transport 30, then you can go and get your money back and say, you jipped me, this is a defective boat, because a boat should be able to carry at least 30 car. Okay, look at the Mishnah. Now we go back to people. If you hired an Uman is a craftsman, and he's doing a special job for you, he's a Shemesachar. For instance, you go and give him a whole bunch of fabric, and you ask him to go and make a suit for you. During that period of time, he's a Shemesachar. If somebody were to go and steal the fabric or steal the suit, he is chayv, he's a Shemesachar. However, what happens, he finishes with, he's had the yarn now, and he's had the fabric now for a month, he's now finished, he calls you up, and he says, Yankel, come on over, pick it up, it's all ready, just bring your money, and you can go and get your suit. He says, Tol Shulcha, take yours, Bahavi Mois. From this point on, it becomes a Shomer Chinam. And we'll see in the Gemara more, why is he a Shomer Sachar, why is he transformed into Shomer Chinam, we'll see shortly. Now, when I'm in a separate situation, Shmor Liv Esh Molach, one person says to the other, I'm going on vacation this week. Please go and shmarli, go and watch my house, my chafetzim, whatever, for a week. And then I will repay the favor next week because I heard that you're going on vacation. I'll be back and I'll do for you. So even though there's no money that changes hands, but since each one is doing it in consideration for the other one doing it, it's just like a Shem Asachar, he's chai b'gnei b'amid. When I'm there, a person says, Shmoli, can you do me a favor? Please watch this for me. The Amalein, the other guy says, sure. Hanukh Lafani, put it down and I'll take care of it. Shem Achidim. If he's not paying him any wage, he just says, put it down, he'll be a Shem Achidim, but he doesn't become a Shem Asachar. He'll be a mashkin, Shem Asachar. If a person gave a halva on a mashkin, in other words, you have a loiva borrowing money from a malva, and the loiva leaves the mashkin with the malva, and the malva is now using it, looking at it, and whatever, so now he becomes a shem esachar for that mashkin. We'll see mention more about this in the Gemara. If you the oimer, it depends. He'll veyu ma'ois, if he lent him money, and he put down the collateral, and he's a shem chinam. He'll veyu peirois, he becomes a shem esachar. What's the difference between the mois and the peirois? Again, we'll see mention more in the Gemara, but Rashi already says, because by peirois, peirois have a tendency to go and rot. And so therefore, when it comes by the peirois, he very much wants him to go and take the peirois, and he lends him peirois. This is almost like a saw b'saw situation we had in the previous parak. He went to lend the peirois. The other person has to return to him new peirois. The new peirois that he's going to return to him will be fresher and newer than the peirois that he is receiving now. So therefore, and we're not talking about a saw situation, the Moshe, he has other peirois, so we don't have a saw b'saw situation. What happens over here, since he's getting better peirois than the ones that he's lending, because the one that he's lending now would rot in a week or two or three, and now he's lending it to him and he's going to get back fresh new peirois, that additional fresh new peirois, that's considered to be enough of a fringe benefit that he's considered to be a shomer sach. Person is allowed to go and be maske the mashkin. What's the maske the mashkin? Again, you have the loive and the malva. The loive borrowed money. He left a mashkin with the malva. Now, what's the malva going to do with that mashkin? It's the type of thing that you can use. For instance, twice he lent him as a mashkin a tool such as a plow, a hammer, an axe, something like that. And these are items that you can rent out. So this malva, he should in fact rent these items out. This will go and bring in income. And once he brings in the income, this will cause to amortize the loan. Our Mishnah uses especially as poisik v'haylich. There's another yes, liyos poiches v'haylich. As a result of receiving those funds, then the amount of the loan will constantly decrease. And this will be a tremendous toiva for the ani that he won't have to pay back at the end of the term of the mashkin because he's been all paid off with the rental stream, the rental income that the malva was able to go and lease out this axe, this hoe, this plow to somebody else. So it's like a meshav avet. So Gemara, we started off that an umman has the status of the shem esachar. This is a classic machloikis that you have throughout Shas. What's the status of a soicher? We all know that there are four types of shomrim. You have the shem echidim, the shem esachar, the soicher or the sochir, and the shoyel. Shem echidim, of course, is only chai b'pshia. He's part of b'nei v'aveda. Shem esachar is chai b'nei v'aveda, but he's part of oinzin. And the shoyel is chai even b'oinzin. It's only potter b'meis machas malacha or the case of she'ela b'balim. So now the question is, what about that sochir? What status does he have? A machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, and as we'll see in the Gemara later, there's even a machloikis who holds what. What does Reb Meir hold? What does Reb Yehuda hold? But at the moment, it says in the Braisa, Soicher Keitz Mishalim. What's the status of the Soicher? Reb Meir Oymer Kishem Chenem. So a person who rents an item, you rented somebody else's hoe, his hammer, his plow, whatever you rent. What's your status? Your status is like a shem echinim, and if it gets stolen, you're potter. As long as you're not pusher, you're just like a shem echinim, you're potter b'nei v'aveda. Reb Yehuda, you make a shem esachar. No. You're like a shem esachar, and you're chai b'nei v'aveda. It says in the Mishnah that you have an uman. The uman has the status of a shem esachar. So the Gemara assumes that an uman and a soicher have the same status. In each case, somebody else is taking care of your item. In the case of the Mishnah, he's crafting this fabric and he's making from it a suit. In the other case, a person rented somebody else's hammer and he's using it. So in each case, why don't you say the same thing? There should be a same masachah. and the mayor holds his kishem machinam is a simon l'chayr. The mishnah doesn't go according to the mayor. So you know, after the mayor, the mishnah could go according to the mayor. But he anod the kashav ekuli alma the ogel elididay havi lavei shaymes achar. After all, there are 100 other weavers in town. He could have given this fabric to anybody else to weave. Why did he give it to me? I feel so good. I'm going to put it on my resume that Mr. Smith gave me his fabric to go and produce this suit. He could have given it to the other 99 weavers. I feel so good about it. I'm willing to go and be upgraded from a Shem Echinim to be a Shem Esach. Pray Timora. This plow that he rented out, that he leased out to the Seicher, there were many other people online that wanted to go and use this plow. He didn't have to go and lease it to me. He could have leased it to Yankel, to Baron, to Shmuel, to everybody else. So don't I also feel very proud and very good that he lent the lease to me his plow? So again, he should also be upgraded and elevated and escalated to the status of a Shem Esacher. Anupshat, that you could say the Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, but he anor the koyov late tvei parta havi lavei shem esacher. The Gemara is assuming that since when he's doing the weaving of this garment, he's expecting to receive not only a salary, but he might even throw in an additional tip. And that being the fact that he's going to go and throw in something more, he's willing to become a shem esacher because of that additional fringe benefit. He's going to get a little more. But the Seicher too could be a situation where they're throwing a little bit more in. Now, by the Seicher, of course, the Seicher is the one that's paying. He's not the one that's receiving. But Rashi says he could be oizel mishas chir behema. He might go and give him a benefit of giving it a little bit cheaper. So the Mishnah didn't talk about how much we paid. If you're assuming that the Mishnah is talking about that he's willing to pay this weaver more than the customary rate by throwing in a tip, throwing in a bonus, a holiday bonus, or whatever it happens to be. Normally to go weave in a suit like this would have cost $200, and he's paying him $210, $220. So that makes him feel so good, and that's why he's willing to be a Shem Esach. So Seicher use the same premise that he's willing to go and give him a benefit. What's the benefit? Normally to go and rent out my plow, I charge you $20 a day. For you, $18 a day. So Milo Eskin to come a Shavale Tvei Porta, he also threw in this additional monetary benefit. So Vaita, what's the difference between an Uman and a Seicher? So Timur Ella, I'll tell you a brand new pshat, the Philotim Rebbeir. The Mishnah can go according to Meir, but he annoyed the toughest Leah, great. Glory boy, Lemeir, Lemeir, Fegaz, Susi. Havalei Shem Esachar. Ah, the difference between the Shem Esachar, the Uman of our Mishnah, the case of the Seicher, is that an Uman automatically has a mashkin from which he can go and collect his wage. Meaning, this Uman went and took the fabric. He made it into a suit. The suit now is worth, and he's able to go and charge him $200 for putting together this beautiful woven suit. Aha. Okay, what happens if the person that commissioned him to make the suit dilly-dallies and he doesn't bring his money all that quickly? The Uman says, if you're not going to go and bring the money, I could sell it in the open market and get my $200. In fact, maybe the suit is even worth more than the $200. My work and my labor was worth $200. Maybe if I sell it in the marketplace, I can get $250. So I could even profit. And not really would profit. You would have to give back the other money. But the point is, that's why the Uman is willing to be a Shem Esachar, because he has another built-in fringe benefit. What's that built-in fringe benefit?
His debt is secured.
His debt is secured. He can go and grab the debt at any time, he can go and grab the object, and he will be able to go and pay himself.
Yeah. Isn't it all subjective here?
Yeah.
Let's assume you have a well-known tailor. The people wait online just need to do what you should work for them.
Now, exactly.
So, if the Gemara is talking subjectively, so it depends. If he's a shlamazel, if he's not such a well-known tailor, oh, and Abdurjad is coming, I'm making Abdurjad a suit. So for him, he's a shlamazel. But if it's George Romani, if you need to draw money, say, listen, Mr. Redder, with respect, I don't need your suit. I'll do it for you if you pay me $1,000.
Yeah, that was the points that you're making are very good, but that was referring to the first distinction that the Gemara tried to make between the Uman and the Seicher, that the reason why the Uman is willing to go and be a Shomer Sachar because of the additional reputation that he's going to get into.
But even now, so it's true that you're giving him the material, but he's saying, listen, I don't need a headache of it. I have all these business men lining up to make me want to make me suits. I'll do your suit for you, but I don't need you, your business per se.
Yeah. Okay. Now everything you're saying is beautiful. The Gemara is saying at the end the reason why there's a difference between an umman and a soicher is because an umman he can go and use self help remedies in case the person is not willing to go pay. That you don't have normally in a regular case. By a soicher, all the soicher does is he's renting out this plow and he's paying him the $20 in advance and then he gets the plow back. Therefore, he's just a shem achir, not a shem asoch. However, this uman, since he has the ability to go and grab the goods which he has now manufactured and shaped and crafted on behalf of the original owner of the fabric, this is a major benefit to him, and therefore he's willing to be upgraded from that being a regular shem achir to being a shem asoch. But even you say my brand new pshat, kin machla for Rabbi Baravua, the Tony. Soicher keitzad mishalim. The same Remei Reb Yehuda, but just in reverse of what we said before. The Remei oimek yishomer sachar, and Reb Yehuda oimek yishomer chinam. And of course, the Gemara can go and say now, leimasis and loy kareb Yehuda, because our Mishnah says shomer sachar, and Reb Yehuda says shomer chinam. But that doesn't bother the Gemara. The reason why it doesn't bother the Gemara is because Stam Mishnah is Remei. So we don't want to have a Stam Mishnah that doesn't go in according to Remei unless I have no choice. And that's why the Gemara began. Oh, this is a Stam Mishnah, not like Remei, because Remei holds Kishay Mechidim, and our Mishnah says Kishay Mesachar. So the final text of the Gemara is, no, the real Remei also holds Kishay Mesachar, not like we said before. So the Mishnah dodged him like Remei, and Stam Mishnah Remei, oh, it's fine. It doesn't go into Rebuda, okay. It doesn't go into Rebuda, Nishkefel.
Why is it Stam Mishnah? Mishnah is usually,
that's if you have a totally anonymous Mishnah.
Right,
but we're talking about the first halach of the Mishnah. Kol ha'um neshim esocheheng. This is not attributed to anybody. Not to Shimon, and not to Blezer, and not to Meir, not to Yehuda, not to Mekiva, not to nobody. So who's the one that says it? So Stam Mishnah is Rameh. It's probably Rameh. If anything, that would be a raya that this is not Rabbi Yehuda. Because if it's Rabbi Yehuda, then it would start the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, kol ha'um neshim esocher, and then al ve'um mo'iz, and it's Mashataka, this is somebody other than Rebbe Yehuda. So this would support the Gemara's teretz that the Reish of the Mishnah is not Rebbe Yehuda, but rather it's somebody else. Who's that somebody else? It's Shemaya. And Rebbe Yehuda, Shemesacher is all good and fine. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Imechim, continue tomorrow.